Blog Talk Radio.
That's not going to happen because his career is going to be, they're going to put him on an IR list so he can get his money. His career is going to be over.
that, I mean, they might as well just put that thing to bed and leave it be. But again, with Favre, you just never got the sense that everything just seemed to be a little off kilter. Not only so much from the season starting, from training camp, but really from just an entire season. Everything is a little bit all out of whack with Favre and the Minnesota Vikings. And again, this is a fitting ending to his soon-to-be Hall of Fame career. 5 years out, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats, and that goes without saying. Again, the most remarkable streak, I think, in the history of sports. Everybody, baseball fans will argue with me about Cal Ripken. Listen, Cal Ripken, playing baseball, playing football is not comparable. I mean, let's be honest. The physical toll that these guys go through is just, I mean, you can't, cause unless you've actually played it, you can't conceive of it. That's why you see a lot of these football players dropping dead at 50, 55. It's just the physical toll is, I mean, it's beyond any normal person can be, beyond belief, any normal, for an average Joe like myself, or for any non-football player. I don't think a basketball player, I don't think a baseball player, maybe hockey can comprehend what a football player goes through week in and week out to get ready for the games, prepare their bodies physically, all the work that goes into it. So, again, that streak is one of the greatest streaks of all time, without question. And he'll be missed. I mean, you can say what you want about him, his energy for the game, the gunslinger mentality, The guy, his teammate, listen, you never heard his teammates talk about it. Never. I mean, you had three guys go out to Mississippi in the middle of the summer to go after him. So that lets you know how much respect they had for him. So if that doesn't tell you nothing, then nothing will. If that doesn't tell you anything about the regard that was held for Favre, then nothing will. I mean, they realized that their best chance to win was to have Favre on the field and not Tavares Jackson, who's playing tonight, in place of Brett Favre. So, he'll be missed, and it's over. I mean, I would have had to see at least be 2 years, something 2 years out of the league for me to believe that he's retired. Now I'm convinced. And I'll be shocked if you see him in 2011 if there's football. So the Brett Favre era in Minnesota, as well in the NFL, seems to be finished. As we speak, again, you have Minnesota and the Giants playing a game. Of course, a game that was postponed because of the weather in Minnesota with the whole roofs mess situation. Right now, the Giants are on top 7-3 behind a Brandon Jacobs touchdown run. Brandon Jacobs is already has 83 yards, including a 73-yard run. Giants, they have the ball right now, up 7-3 as they try to keep pace with the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East. Still to come on this latest edition of the NFL show, we're taking you to 10 o'clock tonight. Your phone calls, again, call number if you want to call in is 347. That's how long it's been. 347-215-6180. If you want to call in, 347-215-6180. Talk about your team or any other team in the NFL. What happened? What transpired in Week 14? We will be back. We'll be back in 30 seconds to talk about the game of the week on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. 4 minutes after 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking your course to 10 o'clock, to the 10 o'clock special hour and a half edition. To get phone calls at 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. We're going to begin with our game of the week as the Houston-Baltimore game is about to get underway. Must win for Baltimore if they not really a must win, but as Baltimore is still trying to keep pace with Pittsburgh Steelers, they need to win this game. Houston still has, Houston is playing for, of course, just playing for pride at this point. They are not going to the playoffs. Game of the week, Philadelphia gets eked by Dallas 30-27. Philadelphia improves to 9-4 on the season. Dallas falls to 4-9 on the season, and amazingly 1-6 at home. Very good game. This is how explosive the Eagle offense is right now. The average game out of Michael Vick has still managed to, you know, pound out well over 40 yards of offense. LeSean McCoy, 149 yards rushing on just 16 carries. Eagles run the ball for 171 yards as a team. And, you know, it's a 2020 game in the fourth quarter. You think Dallas might be in pretty good shape for the upset. And before you blink, 91-yard touchdown pass to LeSean McCoy to, DeSean Jackson, who's become the most explosive receiver in all of football. And then, you know, field goal 30-20. Dallas scores a late touchdown, but Philly was able to hang on 30-27. Again, the Philly offense is just, you know, I don't know how you defend them. I mean, I really, you know, the thing that makes them better than they ever have been, even when Donovan McNabb was there in his prime, I might add, is the fact that they can run the football, and they're committed to running the football. Yesterday, 27 runs, 26 passes. You know, when have we ever seen that out of Andy Reid? I mean, this is a guy who has one of the great pass to run ratios of all time. And he wants to throw the ball. He wants to run the ball. Throw the ball 60% of the time. And so, you know, now they're committed to run the football. LeSean McCoy, who's become basically the new Brian Westbrook. And they are a team to me, and I'm going to put this out here earlier, put this out here right now. They're the only team, as far as I'm concerned, right now, December 13th, that can beat the New England Patriots. They're the only team I feel like they have a legit shot at beating the Patriots because of that offense. You know, Patriots obviously are clearly the favorites right now, but that team, with the Eagles team, certainly has a kind of weapons that can match up and go up against the New England Patriots. But that is certainly a ways to go before we can even entertain, you know, that idea of Super Bowl 45. The Eagles are very impressive, 30-27. When Dallas continues to play well in defeat, their three losses have all been close get lost. They've all been close games. Should have beaten New Orleans with the whole. The Jenkins when Williams fumble. So Dallas is playing well now. They fall to 2-3-2 under Jason Garrett. He's trying to earn his way to a head coaching job with the Cowboys come next season. Green Bay falls to Detroit 7-3. Green Bay, a critical loss to the Green Bay Packers. They fall to 8-5. Detroit improves to 3-10. First time Detroit has won a divisional game in 19 tries. Think about that. 19 divisional games. They had lost it consecutively before they won yesterday. I don't know what to say about that previous streak, but the Lions are headed in the right direction. Just a brutal loss to the Packers in more ways than one. Obviously, you have Aaron Rodgers going down for the second time this season with a concussion. Who knows how long he's going to be out? The timing of this could be any worse. The Packers are right in the thick of a playoff race, and they have New England out of all the teams at New England next week going up the back to face. And right now, the Packers are in trouble. I mean, they caught a break yesterday with the annihilation of the Chicago Bears by the Patriots, but they still are a game behind the Bears in the NFC North division. They are right now wouldn't even be in the playoffs right now. Right now they are eighth in the AFC behind the Giants, who are sixth, Tampa Bay is seventh in the AFC. They're in trouble. I mean, they've been banged up all year long. They've been able to get through these injuries, but this is the one injury that they could not afford. And regardless of this this injury. This was a terrible loss. I mean, listen, Detroit is playing their third string quarterback, Andrew Stanton. You know, you have Stanford out. You have, for life, we can't think of the other guy who had played well for played for the last year. He's out. He had played well. But they're definitely, I mean, both teams are down at third string quarterback. Green Bay should have been able to eke out that victory, ugly as it may have been, and treat them like it's 9-4. So, terrible loss with them for Green Bay Packers. Again, Drew Stanton throws a touchdown pass, late touchdown pass to Will Heller for the game when they scored to win 7-3. Still to come on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. The massacre in Chicago. We'll talk about that, and also the embarrassment in the Big Apple. We'll talk about that as well as much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Of course, we're going to get interactive. Hit me up at Facebook. Hit me up at facebook.com/ Cyril Quinn. Comments, questions, top five quarterbacks will be out tomorrow. Or you can also hit me up at twitter.com/ William Jerome with any comments that you may have as well. Or call the show. That's also an option. 347-215-6180 is the call number. Again, 347-215-6180 is the call number. We'll be back at 30.
Frankly, it's not built for the kind of
wonder that they played it yesterday, to be honest with you. They can't run the ball. They have a bad offensive line. They have a quarterback who any given game, could turn on the ball four or five, six times. Cutler had three interceptions yesterday, 12 or 26. It was awful. Brady was Brady. I mean, Brady right now is playing the best football in his career, better than to me in 2007. We had the 50 touchdowns. I said it last week, and I said it this week again. 27-40, 369, two touchdowns, no picks, of course. Sixth straight game that he caught two touchdowns with no picks. His quarterback rating is about 110 right now. And, New England is just rolling. I mean, to watch New England from September and to see where they're at right now is really remarkable, to be honest with you. I mean, they look unstoppable. I mean, they have really, in a season where I didn't think that there was going to be a team that separated themselves. They have clearly separated themselves and made themselves the favorites to win Super Bowl 45. I don't think there's any question about it. You look at the NFC, the one team that's capable of beating them from a talent standpoint, and that has a quarterback and championship pedigree, they match up, they destroy and beat them all the time. That's Pittsburgh. So, right now, New England, the road through the Super Bowl, they probably have to go through New England right now. They are a game up on Pittsburgh, and also, remember, really two games up as they hold the tiebreaker edge on Pittsburgh. Host Green Bay next week. Who knows if Aaron Rodgers is going to play? Just everything, and I mean everything going right for the Patriots. Now, Devin Poorty, left the game with an injury. Who knows how long he'll be out. He's having an all-pro caliber year, so that could hurt him a little bit, but listen, they're the Patriots. They find ways to replace these guys. The only person they can afford not to lose is Tom Brady. So as long as Tom Brady is taking snaps at the center, they'll be fine. Just again, total domination by New England, 475 to 185. The Bears just get absolutely just dominated in this game. The Bears, good news for them. It is an interconference game. Doesn't hurt them in terms of the division, doesn't hurt them in terms of a conference record. So that's probably the only good news that came out of that game yesterday. Miami upsets New York 10-6, an embarrassing display for the New York Jets. The New York Jets are as soft as drugstore cotton. I said it on my Facebook page this morning, and I'll say it again. They are as soft as drugstore cotton. This is a team that is the definition of a bully. They come out with all the bravado, with this, with that, HBO, talking about the Patriots this, I'm not kissing Tom Brady, I'm not kissing Bill Belichick's rings, and so on, get ran out of building by the, get kicked all over the field by New England last Monday night, and then follow up with this, even worse performance as far as I'm concerned, against a Miami team that, is an okay team, but it's an embarrassing performance for the Jets at home to not even score an offensive touchdown. This is the fourth time. In all their losses, they have not scored an offensive touchdown in any of their losses. They fall to 9-4. Miami improves to 7-6. Sanchez was god awful, 17-44, 216 with a pick. The thing that made this game, and the thing that had to be embarrassing if you're a Jets fan, you lose to a Miami team, I'll get to that, because that put the icing on the cake as far as the Jets went. But you lose to a team that had 131 in your own building, in a game where you needed to win, coming off a bad loss, they had 131 yards of total offense. Chad Henning was 5 for 18 for 55 yards. So they have a touchdown. 5 for 18 for 55 yards. Okay? I mean, and you have to look at the Jets, and you have to look at Rex Ryan. I mean, where is the leadership coming from with this football team? Where are the leaders in that locker room? Sanchez is too young. They have a bunch of head cases on that team. I mean, I'm trying to find a leader on that football team. You don't want it to be your head coach. they have no leadership in that locker room. I would not be surprised if they're going to make the playoffs because the teams that are behind them are good, are two games behind them as far as the wild card goes. So they're going to make the playoffs. They are not, I would be shocked if they won a game if they got there, to be honest with you. They are just headed the wrong way. It's a team that can easily go 9 and finish the season 9-7. You figure that they'll win one of these games. They'll win one of these games to finish out 10-6. But they are headed, again, in the wrong direction. And, of course, you had the whole incident, the foul Alassi, the Jeff strength and conditioning coach who tripped Nolan on the punt return. Nolan, who was seemingly supposed to be out of bounds. Nolan Carroll on the punt return for whatever reason. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out why that occurred, why he would do something that stupid. If the guy was strength and conditioning coach, he's probably going to be suspended at least one or two games, probably without pay. And it made no sense whatsoever. I'm still a day later trying to figure that one out. But again, it typified the Chad day. I think it was just awful losing 10-6 to a Miami team with Chad Henne at the helm at the quarterback. So again, the Jets fall to 9-4. And again, luckily for the Jets, they have a cushion behind the likes of a San Diego or Indianapolis who are behind them as far as the playoff race goes. Still to come on your first edition of the NFL show. We'll head to the Steel City to find a defensive player of the year, and the Saints keep rolling. That's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL show. I'm your host, Samuel Quinn, taking you to the 10 o'clock hour. I'll be right back.
After starting off the season 2-1, they're 2-11.
Cincinnati and Pittsburgh again dominated this game from the line of scrimmage. 354 yards of total offense. Roethlisberger had a decent day, 21-33, 258. But again, the story of this game was the Pittsburgh defense, in particular Troy Polamalu, who, for my money, right now Troy Polamalu is the defensive player of the year. The guy, I think frankly, he's the best safety. I've been saying for the last couple of years, he's the best safety in football. I think he's the best defensive player in football right now. The guy is just a game changer. He makes plays. You know, he boosts these quarterbacks into throws. You saw a play. He might have made a play that might prepare Pittsburgh to a possible Super Bowl appearance with that Joe Flacco hit for some last week in Baltimore. That's how good that play was. So Pittsburgh now has won four straight, kind of gotten back on track after that, you know, embarrassing loss to New England a few weeks back. And basically, I think, Toronto, unless they collapse, are basically locked into that number two spot. They should end up with a bye week with that number two seed. And the schedule is not hard down the stretch. I know they still have another game with Cleveland. They have the Jets next week, and they're catching the Jets. Frankly, they're catching the Jets at the right time. So things are looking up for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they try to make a run and win that seventh Super Bowl. Cincinnati. I mean, listen, Marvin Lewis might as well already have his bags packed. He's going to be fired, on the Monday after the season ends, January. You know, January 3rd, he's out as the head coach of Cincinnati Bengals. There's no, there's nothing else more. There's nothing else to that. There's no question about that. And that team is just, Terrell Owens and Ted Oshonseko and Carson Palmer, who quietly, you can tell what you want about T.O. and Ted Oshonseko about the show and all the attention that they bring, negative or otherwise. The real story to me is for the Cincinnati Bengals has been the decline of Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer is just, frankly, he's a bad quarterback right now. He's just bad. There's no two ways about it. I don't blame Terrell Owens being frustrated at him. He's playing awful. I wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati parted ways with him. We'll see what happens with that in the offseason. I mean, there are certain teams that have to take him. But I would not be surprised if his career in Cincinnati is over after this season. But he's been, let's not kid ourselves with Carson Palmer. He's been terrible this year and continued to be yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Buffalo takes out Cleveland 13-6. Buffalo improves to 3-10 on the season. Cleveland falls to 5-8. Fred Jackson, 29 carries, 112 yards. Jake DeLome was just awful, 12 of 20 for 86 yards. Really, if you're a Buffalo fan, did you really want to win this game? I would think that your season, I know you've played hard every game in and game out, but I would think that you would, want that number one pick. The kind of Buffalo's got to be a tough spot. They're not making the playoffs. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. And one of those wins that I'm not sure you're going to win that game, but, again, Buffalo plays hard every week. Give them credit for that. Again, Fred Jackson, good game for him. Cleveland, McCoy can't come back fast enough. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, and Cleveland falls to 5-8 on the season. When we return, we will talk about the two best teams in the AFC, or two of the three best teams in the AFC right now, who are in the same division. We'll talk about them and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the first edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Will Quinn, taking you again to the top of the hour, 10 o'clock tonight. We're going 90 minutes. Call in at 347-215-6180. Again, you call in at 347-215-6180. They're just underway in the second half of the Giant Mid-Viking game. Giants are in control, 14-3. Eli Manning has two picks in the game. Finished the half with a touchdown pass to Kevin Boss. Brandon Jacobs, to my liking, is having a big game fan on my fantasy team, so he has 300 yards rushing. Brandon Jacobs has a touchdown run, 86 yards rushing, and it looks like the Giants are going to cruise to a victory there. Tomorrow's Jackson, the Minnesota Vikings offense not doing much there against that Giant defense. Giants again trying to keep pace with the Philadelphia Eagles. Minnesota just, you know, playing out the string. That's all you can say about the Minnesota Vikings. As far as the Baltimore-Houston game, which has almost become a forgotten story on this Monday night. You know, normally the Monday night game takes, you know, center stage on Mondays, but we are nothing. First quarter, about 3 minutes, about 3 minutes, 57 seconds left. Watching the game as we speak, 0-0. So Baltimore is driving. Brian Christian just got a penalty, low pass interference penalty. It's going to get Baltimore to the 1 yard line. Looks like they're about to punch it in on that Houston defense, which is just awful. I mean, if you are a bad opposite team, you will get well playing against the Houston Texans. I mean, they are just a joke defensively. I know D'Amico, you know, D'Amico Ryan's obviously was a big loss. Cushing, they missed for the first couple of games. It's still no excuse for them to be this bad defensively, especially when they knew that was one of them, that was their main weakness coming in to the season. Get 347-215-6180 is your call number. Then you can hit me up at twitter.com/WilliamJerrell or at facebook.com/SamuelQuinn. Any questions or comments? As Willis McGahee dials in for a touchdown, Baltimore would definitely be up 7-0. 7-0 as Baltimore tries to keep pace with the Steelers for their AFC North Division crown. Atlanta continues to just be probably the most consistent team in the AFC, 31-10 over the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers are waiting for tea time, basically, as their season is in the tank and has been in the tank for a long time now. They fall to 1-12. Atlanta joins New England at 11-2 for being tied for the best record in the league. Atlanta finds himself in a nice position to get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Again, of course, they have a showdown in a couple of weeks with the New Orleans Saints that will decide the NFC South and decide a lot as far as the Saints goes. And we'll get to that when we talk about their game. Atlanta 11-2, Matt Ryan, his typical efficient day, 20-34, 227, one touchdown. You had Michael Turner have over 100 yards rushing. The one glaring thing, if you're an Atlanta fan, you can a little bit concerned with, Kellogg did have over 20 yards rushing with no passing attack. So that would bother me if I were Mike Smith. I'm sure he was, you know, hammering it to his team and also to his coaches today in regards to that. Giving them, you know, Carolina, all they can do is run. They don't even have James Stewart. D'Angelo Williams is out for the season. So that would be something to worry about if you're Atlanta Falcons. But again, 31-10 is 31-10. I'm sure that they will take that. They will take it and absolutely run with it. The Saints all over St. Louis, 31-13. The Saints improved to 10-3 on the season. St. Louis loses a big loss for them as they're trying to keep pace in that NFC West. They fall to 6-7. Drew Brees 25-40, 221, three touchdowns, two picks. The Saints, you know, amazingly, despite the fact that the Saints are 10-3, because of the fact that they're in the same division with the team that has the best record in football, they are And they're in fifth seed right now. They're the fifth seed. They're behind, of course, all the four divisional leaders, ahead of the Giants by a game, a game and a half right now. And, you know, it is conceivable that the Saints, depending on what the Falcons do, could finish 13-3 and be a five seed. And if that happens, you will hear everybody in the NFL call for a reseeding process, and just they're trying to bury the NFC West. You know, people saying, well, they don't, NFC West, you know, doesn't deserve a top seed considering they have a bad record. Because the winner of the NFC West is going to have at best an 8-8 record. I would say at best, and I'll go as far as to say it's 7-9 if I were to guess. But at best, it'll be 8-8. So again, the Saints could be 13-3 and have a number five seed. But you know, if they beat the Falcons, that they will win that division. A lot of things they have to have some help as far as Atlanta having a better conference record than Atlanta. So a couple of things have to fall in the Saints' favor in order to win that division. But right now they're playing well. Their defense is playing, I think, better than it was last year. They're not quite playing the ball like what they were last year. They definitely put the points on the board. They've had four or five games straight of 30 points or more. Drew Brees has been playing great. So they're certainly in the mix as far as that team that can go to the Super Bowl and possibly repeat for another Super Bowl championship. On the way, the Chargers cruise against Kansas City. And Alex Smith has a game of his life as the 49ers keep their playoff divisional hopes alive. We'll talk about that, and we'll get to the Redskins. Redskins fans, stay tuned with me. I certainly have a lot to spiel about about the state of the Redskins. We'll get to that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL show. 14 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
I was reading a couple of articles about it today.
Would that be the final straw that makes the camel's back as far as them getting a new stadium? J.D. Wolf and Dell and the organization has basically been pleading the city to build them a new stadium. And, you know, I know representatives of their organization was trying to downplay that situation today and say, I'm about to see it right now. It's about trying to, you know, prepare, you know, the Metro Dome, and it's about, well, that's the issue we'll deal with at a later date. LA wants a team. Magic Johnson wants to be a part of that ownership. We'll see what happens with that. Those Minnesota fans are great fans. Those fans are great fans. I would prefer them to keep the team. I would prefer them to keep the team in Minnesota. But, again, you got to build a new stadium. I mean, I don't see, like, you know, the thing out there blew me away in watching that whole scene and seeing how it transpired with the roof is, you know, it's snowed up a million times in Minnesota, and for the roof to collapse just that easily, you know, it's pretty much time for a new stadium. I mean, I don't think that would be, you know, I don't know how many more signals, how many more signs that, you know, the city needs to say to give this team and help fund this team a new stadium. So I think that if you're Ziggy Wolf, you know, you don't want to do this, but you use this situation and take advantage of this situation to get that new stadium. And I'm sure Ziggy Wolf will definitely do that. And again, when that roof collapsed, I mean, I would not trust it in a storm, considering after watching that, it was just a scary sight to watch. And again, Ziggy Wolf is going to get a new stadium one way or the other. Is he going to get in Minnesota, or is he going to get in L.A.? So, you know, the ball is in the court of the Minnesota Vikings and, you know, the politicians and legislation and what have you. So we'll see what transpires with that. Again, the call number, 215-347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. San Diego rolls over Kansas City, 31-0. San Diego improves to 7-6 on the season. Kansas City falls 8-5. Of course, Nomad Castle. This was as one-sided as the New England Chicago game was. This might be the even worse. 31-0 San Diego. San Diego outgained Kansas City 426-67. 67 yards of total offense. Kansas City can do anything. San Diego again teases you. This is what San Diego does. They tease you with how dominant that they can be. I mean, you look at the San Diego team, Rivers had his typical day, 18-24, 226, two touchdowns. San Diego was number two in total offense, number one in total defense. Despite the fact that they're only one game over 500, they've outscored their opponents by over 100 points. 100 points. All we did, get one game over 500. I mean, it's unheard of. It's absolutely unheard of. But, of course, you know the story as well as I do. San Diego has been awful on special teams. They can play just dumb football, and they've just given away at least two or three games just on mental mistakes and special teams. So, but they're made right in the race, and right now, who knows about Kansas City? Kansas City was looking pretty a week ago. Next thing you know, Matt Castle has a privilege removed, and you know his pass for this week is up in the air. It's definitely up in the air. The fleet is up in the air, so who knows what will happen with that whole situation. But again, San Diego from here on out certainly has to win, needs to win out in order to make the playoffs. They will not make the playoffs unless they win the division. unless they went that division. Oakland, Jacksonville takes out Oakland 38-31. If not for the Philly Dallas game, this would have been the game of the week. Oakland was dominating the first half. Jacksonville had a big third quarter, 21 points in the third quarter. David Garrard, three touchdown passes, offsets the big performances by Jason Campbell and Darren McFadden. Jason Campbell went 21-for-30, 324, two touchdown passes. Oakland outgained Jacksonville 476-385. Just, tough loss for Oakland. Oakland won this game. They would have been in great shape to win that AFC West. They would have been 7-6. They're already undefeated in the division. They're already undefeated in the division at 4-0. They do play Kansas City. They do play Denver again. They have Denver at home, Kansas City at Kansas City again. Who knows about the whole Matt Castle situation? So Oakland would have been in a nice position to win that division. Now they are absolutely behind the eight ball. They're absolutely behind the eight ball play with their two games behind Kansas City. Certainly Oakland is going to have to win out or come close to win out in order to have a shot at the division. The best scenario probably for the Oakland to win a division probably would be for them to be in a three-way tie with Kansas City and San Diego, and assuming that they have the best division record, let's say they go 5-1 or 6-0 in that division, that would probably be their best scenario for winning that division. I can't see any other scenario other than them having a tie with those other two teams. But again, tough loss for the Raiders. Give Jacksonville a lot of credit. Maurice Jones drew another game over 100 yards. Again, Jacksonville, I keep apologizing until they lose 8-5. Basically have an elimination game for the Indianapolis Colts. They can put the Indianapolis Colts to bed in terms of their playoff hopes with a showdown next week at Indianapolis. So we will see what happens with that. Still to come, we'll talk about the NFC West as San Francisco stays alive and Arizona plays a part. We'll talk about that, and we will certainly get to the Washington Redskins. Get to the Washington Redskins before the program concludes. We'll be right back after this break.
Trying to finish the team off.
Baltimore has had trouble this year in terms of finishing games off. Saw against Pittsburgh last week, saw against New England, saw against Atlanta. Really, they have not been the greatest, you know, fourth quarter team over the course of this season. So we'll see what happens with that. Happens tonight down in Houston. You know, Houston's going to put some points on the board. I mean, it's good Baltimore. Good Baltimore defense is not going. You're not. It's almost impossible to hold Houston down for an entire game. Got them putting points on the board. Right now, Houston is backed up at around their own 2 or 3 or 4 yard line as right now they're struggling offensively against that Baltimore defense. So I'll keep you up to date on that. Again, Minnesota, the Giants. Giants are up 14-3 in that game midway through the third quarter. NFL show 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. You can chime in, talk about your team, talk about somebody else's team. You can talk about my team, talk about some Redskins if you want to. So chime in, or you can also hit me up at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or facebook.com/SurrealQuinn. See, San Francisco pounds Seattle 40-21. San Francisco improves to 5-8 on the season. Seattle falls to 6-7. San Francisco is 3-1 in that division. Alex Smith had a big day as he regained his starting spot at quarterback. 17-27, 255, 3 touchdowns. I really believe that this division is going to come down. Obviously, you have the three teams from Seattle and the Rams are tied, and San Francisco is at 5-8. San Francisco is in good position to win this division. They have a brutal game next week at San Diego, but if they can somehow navigate that and win that, you're looking at St. Louis, home to Arizona. Not impossible. They already have the best record in that division. Sweeping Arizona. They've already, sweeping Arizona. They split against Seattle. They beat the Rams. So they're in a decent position. And amazingly, actually starting off the season about 1-6. Amazingly, they're still in the division, in that division, which is awful. Mike Singletary still has a pulse as a coach as far as keeping his job alive. So we'll see how that plays out. One thing I'm tired of how bad that division is. Listen, it have every so often you get a division that's just awful. It's cyclical. It's really it's more of an aberration. I don't think the NFL should make any changes because of how bad this division by beating the teams or saying that if you finish 7-9, you don't deserve to make playoffs, which is nonsense. I don't care if you win your division at 4-12. Really, you win your division, you win your division. That's all there is to it. Don't paralyze this team you can't paralyze whoever wins that division because the division is me. Okay, it is what it is. Get over it and move on. I don't want to hear anybody, especially from Green Bay Packer fans who might miss the playoffs at 10-6 or 11-5, or especially New Orleans Saints fans who might be in a fifth seed at 13-3. I don't want to hear it. Both those teams have had opportunities to win games that they should have won. Take care of your business and not. Then don't worry about any other teams, and you'll be fine. So we'll see how that division plays out over the course of the rest of the season. Denver falls to Arizona 43-13. A season to forget for the Broncos. It just keeps getting worse. They fall to 3-10. Arizona is not that much better at 4-9. Big day for Tim Hightower, 18 carries for 148 yards, 2 touchdowns. Denver, 6 turnovers. And you want to talk about a franchise that has lost. Talked about it a bit last week or a couple weeks ago. That franchise just does not have a clue right now. And they have no identity. They have no direction. And the funny thing about it, I read this, they're going to be paying three coaches. Remember, they fired Mike Fairhead. They still owe him money. Fired McDaniels. They still owe him money. And they're going to have to hire, you assume that they're going to have to hire a new coach come to 2011. So that is one team that might be actually hoping that there's a lockout. To be honest with you, so they won't have to pay just but just two coaches. So again, they're at 3-10. Arizona is going nowhere at 4-9 on the season. Still to come on this latest edition of the NFL Show. The Redskins. We'll get to the Redskins Tampa Bay game. I will spill my guts as a Redskins fan. I know that I have not been doing the Redskins post games due to scheduling conflicts, but again, I will give you your money's worth after this 60-second break. NFL Show, your host, real quick, taking you to the top of the hour, 10 o'clock on this 13th of December 2010. I'll be right back.
I'm willing now that I think about it. You keep hearing
you know, should Brett Favre have been benched? You know, let's see what Tavares Jackson, you know, let's see what we can get out of Tavares Jackson. Let's see, well, no, better, you know, the better the phrase is, let's see what where Tavares Jackson is at, you know, what you have in Tavares Jackson. Well, Tavares Jackson, you know, unless anybody has amnesia, was a Minnesota starting quarterback 2007, 2008, okay? He started starting quarterback for 2 years, and, you know, one of those years you were 8-8, other year you were 9-7, or 10-6, no playoff wins. No playoff wins. You know, one, in 2007, they missed the playoffs as the Redskins were able to get that last spot. 2008, of course, they made it, lost to the Eagles in the wild card round at home, by the way. So, I mean, to me, you know what you have in Tavares Jackson. He's a backup quarterback, has some athleticism, has a strong arm, but just not, you know, he's just not any good. He's not a legit starting quarterback, as Baltimore has just scored again with a touchdown pass to Derek Mason. From Joe Flacco to go 14-0. I mean, it's just not any good. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. I can't, you know, it's just that simple. I want to see if this is going to count. Is Derek Mason not the most underrated receiver in NFL history? This guy's going to retire probably like well over 900 catches. I mean, he's borderline Hall of Fame. He really is. The guy just never stops. Now, he goes all the way back to, you know, the old Houston days. But anyway, you know, Tavares Jackson is who he is. And remember, when he had the team, he had Minnesota. They had their offensive line was better than it is now. He had Adrian Peterson still at the top of his game. And had just as good, not better defense, even without Jared Allen. So it's kind of like the, you know, the team around Frank was better than the team around Brett Favre had, that Brett Favre had last year, and certainly this year. So Minnesota definitely better be one of those teams come the 2011 draft that they better draft a quarterback. That's all it is. I mean, that is an absolute must as far as first or second round them drafting a quarterback. But as I try to delay the inevitable as far as the Washington Redskins, which I saved this game for last for obvious reasons. As you all know, the Washington Redskins, of course, fell to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 17-16, 5-8 on the season, 5-8, dropped to 5-8 on the season, lost 3 straight, lost 5 out of the last 6 games after starting out the season 4-3. And, you know, again, not to knock the Tampa Bay game, to Tampa Bay, not to a knock to a Tampa Bay fans, Tampa Bay who's supposed to 8-5. Hey, I've seen this movie before out of Washington Redskins, to be honest with you. And frankly, as a Redskins fan, I'm tired of it. It's, you know, it's starting over, coming with a high-profile coach, high-profile free agent, where his hands went last year, in 2009. And it's just, I mean, it's Groundhog Day. I mean, the most frustrating thing about this season, if you're a Redskins fan, it's not even the record. I mean, listen, as I said before the season started, the Redskins were, if everything went right, I mean, in terms of injuries, in terms of just everybody playing well, they were like 8-8, 7-9 team. And that's absolutely everything went right. Okay? We knew they lacked talent at skill positions. Their offensive line still needed some work, that they did not fit with that 3-4 defense, that they were old and slow. So, yeah, I mean, they had a ton of issues coming into this season. But when you look at their team as currently constructed right now, give me the core. Give me where is the Washington Redskins core offensively right now? I mean, I'm looking at 3 teams that the Redskins have lost to. Okay, the Redskins have lost to this season: Tampa Bay, St. Louis, and Detroit. Now, there's a possibility that 2 of those teams can make the playoffs. Possibility that all 3 of them won't make the playoffs. But the bottom line is, you look at Tampa Bay, with their young receivers, having a young quarterback in Josh Freeman, a talented young running back in LeGarrette James, a rebuilt, remade defense, and it is sickening to watch them as in comparison to the Washington Redskins. Look at Detroit. Now you can say that they're only 3-10, okay, but they again have a possible franchise quarterback if they can ever keep him on the field, in Matthew Stafford. Good young running back in Jameer Best, a stud as a receiver in Calvin Johnson, a beast in the Dalvin Cook. Okay. And you look at the Rams, again, Sam Bradford. And they're fighting for a playoff spot at 6-7. Brandon Gibson plays very well. Cliff Steven Jackson. So all three of those teams have core players. And you know what, all three, and I can even toss in Kansas City as well. In terms of how they rebuilt their franchise. All of them through the drafts. All of it through the draft. Now, you know, there have been some, you know, now Detroit went out and got Kyle VandenBosch. Okay. Which was a nice, so that'd be a nice pickup. Can't see went out and signed Matt Castle. How's that paid off? You know, he could possibly be the NFL MVP if it wasn't for Tom Brady anymore, or Michael Vick. As the Giants have just scored again, as Ahmad Bradshaw goes in for a touchdown, and they're up 21-3 in that game. But the bottom line is all three of these teams, all four of these teams have built through the draft, and they all have one thing in common, and they've all set it up for at least two or three years, and say, hey, you know what, we're going to stake. We might be 1-15, we might be 3-13, but you know, we're going to keep our draft picks, build through there, find the quarterback, and go about our way. Not the Washington Redskins, but the Washington Redskins, you know, they're finding that he has 2 or 3 years left. You build a championship team around him in the next 2 or 3 years, and then, you know, we'll come from there. And it is completely blown up in their face. If I'm the Washington Redskins right now, I get Red McNabb at the end of the season, try to trade him or even cut him and start over. It's time for the Redskins. I know as frustrated, I'm as frustrated as anybody as somebody who's rooting for this team for, you know, over 25 years. But it's bottom line, it's time for them to start over. It's going to get worse before it gets better down in Landover, trust me, or Ashburn, Redskin Park in Ashburn, Virginia. It's going to get worse before it gets better. The team is old. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have any core offensive players that you can build around, with the exception of Trent Williams. No skill position players. Now, they have a couple of nice pieces on defense with Lansky and Rockpo. But, you know, again, we've seen this before, if you're a Redskins fan. And then, not the scary thing about it, they have not, you know, last season, Jim Zorn was the butt of everybody's jokes. Well, the team really is not that much better than Mike Shanahan this year. Okay, they're 5-8. They've won one more game than they won last year with a depleted roster. They can easily. Now, they have Dallas, Jacksonville, and the Giants at Dallas, home to the Giants. If the Giants are playing for something that last week, they can easily be 5-11. Easily. I'm trying to find a win. Dallas is playing well. Jacksonville's playing for their playoff lives and in a division, and also playing well on top of it. Where is the win coming from, exactly? And again, some of the same stuff you saw in the game yesterday, caught mismanagement, a bobble snap. Didn't we see some of that stuff last year under Jim Zorn? I mean, you tell me, yeah, this wrestling fan. Didn't we see some of that stuff last year? And again, Redskins fans, you have to be patient. But it's frustrating. It's very frustrating to be patient because you don't see any sense. You know, you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't. I don't even see, as Marsh Allen would say, a gleam. I don't see the gleam. I don't see the damn gleam, to be honest with you. I don't see it. I mean, right now, what do you have to look forward to other than next year as a Redskins fan? to be honest with you. They were being honest. Putting all jokes aside, being real about it. What do you have to look forward to? So, again, the Redskins are just, again, playing at the string and playing for 2011. Again, we'll see what happens with McNabb. Because if I'm running this team, if I'm Mike Shanahan, McNabb, I've seen enough out of McNabb. Again, no more excuses with, you know, lack of receivers, running game. Even when he's got protection, the ball, he should have had about 3 or 4 balls picked off yesterday. You look at his numbers don't look bad. 22-35, 228, 2 touchdowns, no picks. But he did not throw the ball, though. I mean, he had the ball bouncing at guys' feet. He missed receivers left and right. Again, the clock mismanagement at the end of the first half, you know, he has to take 50% of that. Shanahan has to take the other half of that. You know, I there's no excuse for it. Again, I think it's time to move on from that. Focus it, you know, draft the quarterback. Go get a veteran quarterback. There'll be plenty of them out there. They always resurface around, you know, March through June anyway. So just start over, and you have to take a 4-12 season, and so be it. Stock up on draft picks and go from there. Still to come on our first edition of the NFL Show. We're looking ahead to next week's action. We'll also continue to keep you updated on these two games that are going on simultaneously, and we might touch on that as a couple of things in the sports world as well. That's still to come on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Real Quick. I'll be right back.
Jacksonville, if they are to win next week, would be
basically would be 3 days behind ahead of Indianapolis. Well, they were close to the division. Would have been next week at 9-5. They would have swept the Indianapolis Colts. Already again a game ahead of them right now. So India must win for Indianapolis to keep their season alive at 7-6 right now. The Jacksonville is at nine and five again at Indianapolis. Jacksonville coming with that great running game. Maurice Jones-Drew, who quietly is having an MVP type of season himself, gets a sputter in Indianapolis team that barely beat Tennessee. A Tennessee team that doesn't have a quarterback on Thursday Night Football last week. See if Indianapolis missed the playoffs for possibly the first time since 2001. This is a remarkable streak when you think about it. Also, Philadelphia at the Giants. It looks like the Giants are going to cruise to win this game. Giants are Giants again trying to keep pace with the Philadelphia Eagles. And again, that's a game that, for all intents and purposes, is for the division. Both teams will have 2 games left remaining in the season. Eagles win next week against the Giants. They'll be up 2 games. They'll basically be up 2 games to play up 1 game, but have swept the Giants. They have swept the Giants in the season series. So that is a huge game for the Giants and Eagles. And the difference between winning that division and not winning could be the difference between a number 3 seed and a number 6 seed. Right now, Atlanta's number 1. You have Chicago 2, Eagles are 3, and of course Seattle or St. Louis 1. St. Louis is 4. I mean, St. Louis is 4. Then you have the Saints and Giants. So it could be a big difference between wholesome. Or it could possibly even, depending on what happens, certainly a lot of scenarios to play out, possibly, NFC East could possibly get a 3, could get a number 2 seed, depending on what happens with the Chicago Bears. So I see a lot of things left to be decided in the last 3 weeks of this NFL season, but certainly a huge game down at the Meadowlands next week between the Giants and Eagles. Green Bay at New England, who knows what will transpire with one Aaron Rodgers again. Second concussion this season. Certainly still in the promise, really want to mess around with him by putting him out there and having play his career with a possible another concussion, especially against a New York team right now is playing just out of this world. Even if he does play, Green Bay is up against it. But I'm very interested to see the matchup between the Green Bay defense and New England's offense. Green Bay defense has been playing spectacular football. They only given up about 14 points a game. Yesterday certainly was not their fault, giving up only 7 points to Detroit yesterday. So, very interesting matchup from that standpoint. I do think, obviously, early on you have to like New England, but I don't think it'll be as one sided as people will be making it out to be as Baltimore. Right now, still up for it. He's definitely trying to add on to that. And the Giants, again, of course, having that way with Minnesota. Of course, we began the program with Brett Favre and seemingly the end of his career as he ends his streak at 297 straight games played. Well over 300. I think his number is 321 if you include playoff starts, just again one of the most remarkable streaks in the history of sports without question. Favre again career basically is over. I mean it's more likely they're gonna put him on IR so he can get his money. And he will be if they put him on IR he's done for the season. It's been one thing after another. On and off the field for Brett Favre, but it's his, shoulder, his ankle, just every just basically as Baltimore scores another touchdown, 21 pending the extra point. It's been just, it's just one of a season, a nightmare season for Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings. And this is life in the NFL. You know, this is how things happen to go down in the NFL. There's nothing, there's no fairy tales in the NFL. I mean, this is how NFL careers end. I don't care if you are one of the most decorated and celebrated quarterbacks in NFL history. You know, 41 years old, came back 1 year to came back one year too many, and you know it turns out that again, I thought this at the beginning of the season, the training camp, Minnesota missed their shot last year. They were the best team last year and should have been holding the Vince Lombardi Trophy last year. Should be the Saints, and I think the Saints they would beat the Colts as well. But that is revisionist history at this point. Now Minnesota finds themselves basically starting over. I mean, you know, you have a big time run back in Adrian Peterson. You have the aging offensive line. You have the aging defensive line, for that matter. They are older in some spots. They draft well, but they need a quarterback in the worst way, and they need to basically turn this page. They took their shot in these last few years of trying to win Super Bowl, and now it's time to move on. You know, players like Leslie Frazier, we'll see what happens with that. But certainly there'll be a lot of coaches. There'll be some more coaches that will want that job. The owner likes to spend money. The owner will spend money, but I'm not sure that right now that is a desirable job, to be honest with you. Because you don't have a quarterback. Again, you have an aging lineup. You have some aging in a couple spots. And, that is not as viable as some of these other jobs around the league will be. Like in Dallas, Dallas, possibly Tennessee, possibly, I don't want to say Cincinnati, but Carolina. So we'll see what happens with that whole ordeal as far as the Minnesota and Brett Favre. Again, Brett Favre, say what you want about him, still one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Again, that streak, I don't think Peyton Manning is breaking that streak. Peyton Manning is still, Peyton Manning is still 92 starts away from 92 starts, which comes out to about 6 years. So that means he has to be healthy for 6 years, including preseason, playoff games. All it takes is a player to knock it out of the NFL. So I don't think that streak gets broken anytime. I don't think it ever gets broken, to be honest with you. So we'll see what happens with that. Thanks for tuning in to this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. I will see you the next time. Enjoy your evening. So long. Thank you.